Father, we love you. We really do. God, these people must love you. God, look at the pastor they put up with. God, they still show up. God, I know they love you. And Lord, I know because they love you that much, you have good things for them. And Lord, God, please, don't let it just be John Counsel talking to them today. God, they deserve so much more than that. Lord, there are people in this room that are carrying loads, Lord. And they need to know your presence and the power of your word, God. Encouraging them, God. Building them up in you. And God, Lord, I know, yeah, I'm going to pray this. God, there are people here that are carrying loads. But God, in spite of those loads, the power of your spirit is so real in them, Lord God, that the power of your spirit is still capable of transforming lives that they come in contact with. They don't feel powerful. They don't feel like they're in the groove. But God, they're in your groove. And God, you have never been limited by our limitations. Lord, you have never been limited by our faults, God. When you choose to do something, Lord God, you are always choosing imperfect people, God. And we joke, Lord, because all the perfect ones are dead. So, Lord, I pray, God, that through you and through what we're going to talk about this morning, we would leave this place knowing who we are in you, God. Things may not have changed in our situation, but God, the devil knows how powerful we are in you, and that's why he's loading us with deception and lies and doubt and warping our perspective all the time. Because God, he knows if we ever clue into what you're about and how powerful you are in us, in spite of us, Lord God. God, we will do untold damage to his kingdom, God. Accomplish that. God, you can do that even in one service. And today's as good a day as any. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, say to the person next to you, I hope his sermon isn't as long as his prayers. It's like, I told you my stepfather died this week. So we went down for the funeral. My mom met this guy 4 years after my dad died, and he met my mom less than a year after his wife died. His wife of 40 years, my mom married 37. They were married 25 years. They met when I was pastoring out in Manitoba, so I didn't really get to know him. But, well, I got to know him, but not like nobody can replace your dad, you know? And, some of you have stepdads. You know what it's like. And, it was a really bizarre funeral, okay? He's got five kids, and I would be right in the middle of the age of all of them, okay? And a bunch of grandkids and great grandkids and everything, and they're strong brethren in Christ, Christians, okay, and they love the Lord, very conservative, but, you know, they love the Lord, no doubt, and he was a man of God, a great guy, you know, no doubt about where he was with Jesus, and that was the best part of it. But, large family, and we're in a few, there's about 150 people there, and the only people that spoke about him or in the funeral was the pastor and Heather and me, okay, which was, like, kind of weird, but God opens the door, and if you ever lose a loved one like this, and remember, we got a six-hour trip all the way back, Of course, had to stop off in Woodstock to see the good new granddaughter, of course. Whenever you, weddings and funerals, you take stock, don't you? Okay? You think about your life. You think about where you're going. You think about, man, he's checked in, man. 84 years old, and he's set for eternity now. Okay? And I'm named after John Wesley. John Wesley, the father of Methodism, told his people that we should all go to more funerals because nothing puts life in perspective. Nothing gives you heaven's priorities like funerals. Okay? And it was like a timeout for me. And it was a timeout for Heather, too, because she's going down to see the granddaughter all the time. When she goes down, she helps her mom. She helps my daughter-in-law. She helps everybody. She's as busy on weekends when she goes away as she is during the week. So this time, I got to drive the car, and she got to, you know what she did the whole time? On the cell phone, dealing with crises, back at her work and everything, and straightening everything up. But anyway, but she appreciated the break. It was a timeout. It was a forced timeout. Sometimes, and, you know, people, they're not going to tell you when they're going to die, you know? Oh, he's dead. Well, I guess everything gets altered, okay? It doesn't matter what you're doing, you know? It was a forced time out. And God will do that to you sometime. timeouts are good. And the more I prayed, the more I thought about it. You know, there's something here that I need to talk about. So I start praying. I start thinking, timeout, okay? I'm crazy sports. It's has the potential for sheer idolatry in my life, and that's why I'm very transparent and open about it, because I don't want it to be an idol in my life, but it is, you know. And every once in a while, I need a brother or sister to smack me up the side of the head, or my wife or my daughter, and they do it often. You know, Jesus has got to be first. I used to say, see, I grew up with baseball, and baseball was a sport I played. Baseball was everything the first 20, 30 years of my life. I did baseball as I ever did, okay? Played it whenever I could, and I used to tell people that baseball was my religion, Jesus was my reality, okay? That's how I justified it. Hal's a little that way, too, once you get to know him, but he's a good guy. In football, they have timeout, you know? And they, timeout, 30 seconds. And in hockey, it's the same way. And in sports, you call a timeout when you're not really sure what's going on here. It's getting intimidating. You could be losing. It's usually called out when there's very little time left in the game. And usually the opponent, the enemy, is doing things you didn't expect. So, whoa, get in here. We got to respond to this, okay? And you can't just do it on the fly. So timeout calls everybody together, okay? Sometimes the team has been working too hard, okay? Or they didn't get a shift properly. Hockey coaches will do this, okay? Especially when hockey, they get an icing, you know? They get an icing. If you get icing, your players can't change, okay? They've got to stay out there. That's a penalty of icing. So often where there's an icing, you'll see a coach call a timeout because the guys need a rest, okay? They've been working too hard. So think of those connotations. The enemy has changed tactics, you know? End of the game. There's things happening that we didn't realize, okay, and maybe we're working too hard, and I thought, I mean, that applies to a lot of us in our individual lives, but boy, I think it really applies on December the 2nd, 2018, okay? Now, maybe I'm a little bit loopy, maybe it's just me, but we just started a soup night on Thursday nights, okay, and that's a lot of work, a lot of potential, okay, a lot of things can happen. And we're going to do it for 4 weeks. And our intention, Lord willing, you know, is that God explodes this thing into something much bigger than a soup night, and that something starts happening, and we believe he's going to lead us. But we believe we've got to go out there and be doing it. We got a hayride that snuck up on us, okay? And the reason I didn't say much about it, because of the soup night that came up, this hayride is this Saturday. Y'all got to bring chili, okay? Y'all got to bring chili. If anybody can bring a chili, and we need people to do hot chocolate and everything. It's a fun thing. It's great. But it requires, you know, a lot of us to work. We just put up what took us 2 or 3 days to put the Christmas tree up. Okay. If you do Christmas decorations in your home, if you live on Taffy Lane, how many know where Taffy, tell me if you know about Taffy Lane. Put your hand up if you know about Taffy Lane. Okay. You've driven on Taffy Lane, you know, you drive there and the first thing you think is, these people are nuts. They're out of their minds. This is crazy. How can you do this? Okay. And I'm having fun because Don and Teresa live on Taffy Lane. Okay. They live right in the middle of it. I shouldn't have told them that because they're going to stop at your house now when they go. Okay? And the traffic on Taffy Lane. And you know that Christmas is a time where everybody's busy. Everybody's running around. And if you're doing stuff at home, you know, like you're preparing and there's it has the potential for stress. Okay. You start going into the holiday season, and we're, with all the outreaches and the food giveaway that's coming on the 24th, for a church our size, we're swinging way above our weight. Way above our weight. Okay? Now, my first response is, yeah, we ought to be, because we got Jesus. We can do way more together with the power of the Holy Spirit than we could ever do outside of Christ. Okay? I don't think it's a bad thing to attempt huge things. Especially when you know it's all about Jesus. It's all about honoring Him. It's all about letting people know the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I want people to know Jesus like I know Him, okay? And I have fun with Jesus. I have my down times, but I got a family and a body to pick me up and kick me and do what I need. John, get it together. You know who you belong to, okay? It's a wonderful, powerful thing. In fact, Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing. All you guys got that together. Great. You responded. You're here. Okay. It says encourage one another as some are in the habit of doing. But it says spur one another on towards good deeds. Okay. In the same verse, spur one another on to good deeds. Nobody likes a spur. Horses don't like spurs. They dig the spurs up. Whoa, they jump higher. Okay. Spur. jab each other every once in a while. When we're going off the rails, when we're giving into sin, when we're giving into deception, when we're giving into the lies of the enemy, you know? It's not a bad thing. Gotta do it in love. You don't do it in love, you're just gonna be doing damage, okay? Gotta do it in love, okay? But we spur one another on towards good deeds, okay? So, where are you going with this? I want us to step back. We're getting into December. And I think God's been talking to me about January. And in January, I'm going to embark on a series of messages. The last three messages I preached at the last church, it was a series called Why God? Okay? And I preached those messages, and because of the turmoil that was going on in that church, nobody was really listening to the messages, okay? Because everything was so fractured there that it was really, really difficult. And I knew by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a time when I'm going to revisit that. And here's what I believe. This isn't God, okay? If we are being obedient to the Lord, and if we are working in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we've got the mind of God for the soup nights, for the giveaway foods, for the hayride, for all the stuff, because it's a lot of major stuff compressed into 1 month, okay? I really believe that we are going to see more and more people coming here that are curious, okay? And they want to know what's going on. And the Why God series could go 3 to 8 messages, okay? It's going to start the week after January, okay? Like the I think January 5th or 6th, whatever the first Sunday in January is. And it is geared for most of the time, the way a church grows is healthy sheep reproduce, okay? So a pastor's job is to breed healthy sheep. Okay, making sure that we're following Christ, making sure that there's no barriers between us and Jesus, no barriers between us and each other, because they'll know we're Christ followers by our love for each other. So my job is to breed healthy sheep, and that's usually what I'm doing, and I'll be doing that in January, but Jesus said, and I'm using my own vernacular, but this is really what the scripture really means, this isn't rocket science, guys. If you got one sheep that's missing, and you got 99 in the fold, you leave the 99, you go after the one in the fold that's lost, okay? So that's got to be a dynamic of what we're all about. That's why we do our outreaches. But I feel led. I can't believe it. I didn't turn my phone off. Okay, everybody grab your phones and turn them off. Oh, it's my wife texting me. I can't believe it while I'm messaging. I'm kidding, honey. You're not doing that. I'm just messing with you. Now, okay? I believe that if we really believe that the Holy Spirit is with us and we're going to be inviting people, they're going to come, and I want them to encounter not only the Spirit of God that is here, but the Word of God in a way that causes them to go, that makes sense. Okay? So I need you to pray with me, but also leading up to that, if we're to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, I think it's a real time to step back, to take a time out, to take a time out before Christmas hits, to take a time out before we get involved in all this outreach ministry and everything, to take a time out to hear Christ, okay? And I want to focus in on the time out. When you take a time out, things have got to happen. You go over your purpose. I want to go over our purpose. I want to go over our priorities. I want to talk about the pitfalls. I didn't try to make them all start with P. It just turned out that way, okay? And if I turn this, I just got a new battery, so this should work good today. Is it going to work? There it is. Purpose. We go back to our purpose. What's our purpose? Christ Church. Jesus. It's Christ Church. It's all about Jesus. You know? This isn't by Christians for Christians. This is by Jesus for Jesus. He is first in everything. He has the primacy in all things. Not everybody in this room understands that, but we read that in the Bible, so we pray about it, and we ask Him, how can we make you need to be first in everything in our life. That's our job. We obey Him. We follow Him. We lift Him up. What does that mean, lift Him up? Well, our worship touches everything that we do. We bring Christ in the conversation. We don't get preachy. That's annoying, okay? We're not trying to convert everybody. But if we get the opportunity, you know, and our love is having an impact like the Holy Spirit says it can, we will have opportunities to glorify the Lord. How come you don't lose your temper? Maybe it's because I follow Jesus. I'm certainly not perfect. Okay? How come you're shoveling my walk? You don't need to do that. Well, Jesus loves me and, You know, I think it's a good thing. I won't do it if you don't want me to. You know? See, that's not being preachy. That's just lifting up the Lord. So you hear these cliches, lift up Jesus. Well, we lift up, we make Jesus known. We make Jesus known by demonstrating His love. Okay? Because our purpose is Jesus. He's priority. Okay? We model Him. We pattern our life after Christ. In fact, He's the only reliable role model. Now, it's not bad to have role models and mentors. But I could give you a list of about a half a dozen preachers, speakers, great people that were role models in my life, and they failed. Their life went off the rails. They became what they always were. Human! Okay? It is Christ that is perfect. It is Christ that... How did Jesus react to this? That's what I need to do. What was His priorities in this situation? That's what I need to do. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about how He would react. Well, how would He react based on what I know about Him? That's modeling Christ. Whoa, man, Jesus was perfect. Come on. Yeah, I get that. Okay. That's why we pray. God, help me. God, this is impossible without You. And you know, there's a lot of people here. You've done things and said things that you never dreamed you could do, but you know it was because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that He strengthened you. Okay? It's possible. And that's why He wants to come into our life, because He wants to reveal His power. So the purpose... Notice there's a lot of things I'm not saying with the purpose. Purpose is to build a great church. Purpose is to have an impact on, you know, the neighborhood. Purpose is to change the world. Those are all good things, aren't they? Okay? Not as important as what Christ wants. Because all those things, you can be fulfilling them and doing them, and you can have a heart of stone and impure motives and everything else. I don't know if my motives are ever going to be pure, but I know this, if I pursue Christ and I'm obedient to Him, it'll probably work out well. Okay? So we obey Him. We obey Him. We obey Him. That's pretty simple. What does the Bible say? What are you supposed to do, you know? We follow Him. We lift Him. We make Him known. We model Him. Why? Well, because He says, the ones that love Me, obey Me. Okay? If you love Me, you'll obey Me. He says that. There's people who talk about love and they don't obey the Lord. Well, Jesus sees right through that. There's so many promises tied to obedience. Okay? You can't discount those. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's going to guide your path. Everything works together for good. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. All those promises. Okay? And it also says in Hebrews, there's all kinds of people that are following God. And they had all those promises too. And they went to heaven without ever seeing those promises fulfilled. Okay? But just because those people never saw those promises fulfilled, it does not disconnect, it does not short circuit the promise of God in all of our lives, because He's no respecter of persons, okay? How come God doesn't bless like He should, like the Bible says? I don't know. I'm in sales, I'm not in management. That's a cliche. You've heard it before, okay? But you can psychoanalyze that question so much that it soils your perception of God, exactly what the devil wants to do. Soil our perception of our good God. Okay? Oh, and by the way, all those lies will always make sense. Always! He's the best liar there is. Nobody lies like Him. They're all believable. They're very, very convincing. We make our purpose Christ because of promises. We have one of the promises I like. I don't mention it that much, but Mark 1:33, it's not even written as a promise. Jesus is in the home, and it says it's simple in Mark 1:33, and the whole town gathered at the door. We obey Christ because anywhere He is, anywhere where He's not restricted, anywhere where He's believed, people beat a path to Him. Okay? People don't beat a path to people that are serving God with an agenda. Okay? They beat a path to people that pretty much have given up on everything else, and they follow Christ. They follow Christ with everything that's in Him. And if this is really our purpose, if this is really our purpose as Christ Church, Jesus, sounds pretty obsessed, right? Sounds pretty fanatical. Sounds like, man, that's all you do is talk about Jesus. I would suggest there's only one obsession in the world that probably won't mess you up, and that's an obsession with Jesus Christ, okay? Because the more of Christ you have in your life, and not your perception, the real risen Christ, the more of Christ you have in your life, the healthier you're going to be, okay? And all those promises are going to be unlocked in your life in one way or another, okay? If this is really our purpose, that's going to arrange our priorities, okay? Some things are not going to matter If your priority is Christ, there's a lot of things in church life and in your neighborhood and in your family and at work that just don't matter. And other things matter a lot, you know? And you will be seen by people outside the body of Christ as, that's kind of weird, you know? They're going to perceive it that way. So let's go on to the next one, priorities. You always have time for the things you put first. Have you got that? You got that? Oh, I got no time. You always have time for the things you put first. For the things that are high priority for you, you will always have time. Okay? Show me somebody who's 75, puts in 75 hours of work a week, loves their job, is busy as anything. But the greatest desire of their heart is they want to get married. They want to be in love. And they meet somebody. And they're attracted to that person. And that person is attracted to them. Watch how quick that person gets free in their schedule. Oh my goodness. They will make room. Why? Because you always have time for the things that you put first. Always. Always. I'm too busy, Pastor John. Well, I guess it's not that important. It's probably right, but these things are important. Look at, if the devil can't make, now I'm talking to Christians now, the follow Jesus. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. Okay? The seed that goes into good soil and it grows up and only weeds come in. And you know, some of those weeds you can get nice fruit out of, you know? Some of them you can use stuff that's now legal in Canada. It's still a weed, okay? It's a weed. And it crowds things out and it's a slow process. Have you ever watched a weed take over a good plant? You got a lot of time on your hands if you've ever seen that. Takes a long time, okay? God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. The devil hates you, has a horrible plan for your life. The devil knows you quite well, too. He knows what's going to trip you up. He knows what's going to mess you up. He knows what's going to poison you. He's got a concoction specifically made for you. Oh, this is going to be great for him, her. And he has no mercy. That's not fair. Beautiful. He's the guy that created that. You know, that's not fair. He created that tactic. He's the father of lies. Priorities. What's our priority? It's Jesus. That's why we called it Christ Church. What's our priority? Well, Jesus is our priority. His love. His purity. That's not self-righteousness, you know, but we strive for purity, don't we? I don't want impurity. In fact, I don't even want impurity I don't even know about. I need to be transparent with each other and as vulnerable and submissive so that my brothers and sisters will notice stuff in my life that I don't notice. Okay? You need each other in this room way more than you think you do. You do. It's the devil that tells you, I'll be okay. You know? In fact, I can give you a list of about a half a dozen people right now who are not here this morning that the devil was successful in keeping them away. The thing they needed more than anything was to be here. They're not here. Because they bought into, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. Priorities. We love Jesus. You can't love if you're selfish. Well, you can, but it's not going to be as good as if you're unselfish. In fact, the higher, you guys that are married, you know this. The higher quality love is less selfish, right? Elbow your husband, wives. Come on. Yeah, come on. Okay? Love is pure when it's less selfish. Okay? You can't put Jesus first if you're always first. If everything else is first. And to those who serve, Chantel, Jean, Hal, Miriam, Isufu's translating, okay? People on the council. That's the board. I still haven't gotten used to that because my name's council, okay? Those who serve, those who are cooking soup, those who are going to be doing hot chocolate and chili on Saturday. Our commitment, listen, your commitment is not to this church necessarily or to this organization. It's not to our ministry. We're committed first to Jesus, and that's easy to commit to him because he died for you and he loves you and he's always going to forgive you and he's always there. Of course, if you can't commit to Jesus, you have issues, okay? He's perfect, okay? All love. Our commitment is not to ministry, not to church. Our commitment is to each other. I'm committed to Mike. I'm committed to Chantel. I'm committed to Sergio. I'm committed to Ken. I'm committed to Christine. I'm committed to Karen. I'm committed to Sean. That puts a whole new spin on it, doesn't it? I'm going to show up because Ken's there. That's people. That's what Jesus, that's what the body of Christ really is. That's what loving your neighbor is yourself. Okay? I'm committed to Greg and Aaron across the street from me. Okay? I'm committed. We're committed to each other. We commit to people. Okay? In fact, probably the greatest evidence that you really love Jesus and are committed to Jesus is how committed to people you are. Okay? We're committed to each other. Relationships mean everything. To God, to each other. And when churches lose that priority, they die. The program and the process and everything becomes bigger than the people. They become malfunctioning machines, heartless, soulless, you know? But we're showing up because, you know, we've got to keep the machine going, okay? Pitfalls. Good slide, eh, banana peels. Do you get it? Okay, good. Don't have to explain it to you. I can only think of one. One? You put the word pitfall up there? It's plural. You know what? I don't want to go into pitfalls because there's all kinds of things that can trip us up, and I couldn't get past one. There's only one. And I hesitate to put it up there because some of you are going to think same old, same old. It's same old in my life because I'm dry. Because I wander from God. And if it's same old, same old, that's not God's fault. It's my fault, okay? There's only one pitfall. One pitfall. Prayerlessness. It's the only pitfall. It's the only pitfall. Man. And notice it's on a brick wall. Because that's a brick wall. If there's prayerlessness in your life, you've hit a brick wall. This is something, and listen, the devil knows you well enough that none of you are going to make time for prayer in your life unless something else dies. Something else is going to die. It's going to be your leisure. It's going to be a hobby. It's going to be maybe extra work. It's going to be relationships. It's going to be the phone. Something is going to die for us to address prayerlessness in our life. I'm not talking as a church here. I'm talking in your life. Okay? Leaning on what we know. What we've always done. Hey, I got this down. I don't have to pray. You know, everything's good. You know, I got a kind of a different scripture I want to read to you here. Okay. And I'm hoping that I got the mind of God that it touches you. I don't spend a lot of time in Lamentations. It's a down book. You know, it's a downer. I mean, it's called Lamentations. It's the Lamentations of Jeremiah. What's a lament? That's a lament. It's negative. You know, what are you lamenting about? So I'm kind of going on the edge here, and hopefully it's God. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Wow. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. We did a whole thing on waiting, didn't we? Okay. Man. I got to learn how to do that. I'm not doing that as well as I could. And I think all my stress can be attributed to, you know, I got it. I don't have to spend more time in prayer. I don't have to get to know God more. I already know God, you know. Good lie. Believable. Good lie. Believable. Then there's choosing, you know. And I'm talking about prayerlessness. They're choosing, and this can creep into your life, choosing to be different for different sake. Okay? I don't want to be different for different sake. I'll be different because I want to be like Jesus. But that can be pride too. Let me go further in Lamentations. There's more to be mined here. Okay? Let's take a look at it. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to those who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Didn't say how long. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Moses, 40 years, looking at dumb sheep, you know? Guys, can you imagine? Guys raised in Pharaoh's household, you know? You ever see those cartoons, Disney, kind of the Prince of Egypt, you know? And like this guy's, he's a rich kid. And he's staring at sheep for 40 years. 40 years. There's people in this room aren't even 40 yet. You can't even imagine that because you haven't lived that long. Okay? 40 years. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. How long, Lord? Hey, yell at him, scream at him. He could take it. But don't forget this. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Do you know what the connotations of that is? please, if I'm stretching this, Lord, forgive me. But some of you think, I think you need to hear this. It's good to not have your prayers answered, you know, automatically. I've been around people that get their prayers automatically answered too often, and I don't like being around them. You know, it's like they're about as shallow as a mud puddle. I find the people that are really the most Christ-like are the ones that have hung on and for way too long. Way too long. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Maybe, this is scary. This isn't in my notes, but I'm just thinking about it now. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. Maybe He's got to get us to the place where we don't have any hope in anything else, where there's no hope except in Him. I don't know. Okay? I'm just giving you the word. Let the Spirit of the Lord talk you through His word. His word is alive. I've been joking a lot the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've said this line often. The Bible's the only book that reads you. It reads you. Okay? In Hebrews it says, He knows the intents of our heart, and His word cuts like a two-edged sword. Okay? What does that mean, two-edged sword? Okay? We use guns. Bang, you're dead. We're not even thinking about that. Okay? Let me give it to you a little bit more. It also says that Jesus is the light of the world, and His word is light. It will lighten our path. This is something we'll understand. If His word cuts like a two-edged sword, what cuts even deeper than a two-edged sword? What's more precise? What's more precision? A laser. They use laser in surgery in ways that they could never use a blade. What's laser? Condensed light. Think of the light of the world. Think of the light of the truth. Think of the light of the word of God. Okay? It's precise. He does cut. He is the most precise, beautiful surgeon you'd ever want to meet. And something else about light, it cauterizes wounds too. Okay? It heals. It heals. And if you're the center, if you're in the center of God's will, okay? If you are in the center of God's will, this is under pitfalls now, prayerlessness. If you're in the center of God's will, you will be a target. Okay? He is coming after you. He doesn't want you to succeed. Okay? And if you ever start believing the stuff that you see no evidence for except maybe God, if you ever start believing the stuff that He told you to believe, He told us to believe as though we've received. Look, I agonize over that too. Okay? That's the beginning of the battle against the one who's smarter than you, knows your weaknesses, and will concentrate all his attack on your weaknesses. Okay? That goes for you as an individual. That goes for us as a church. Well, I'm this way, I'm that way. Yeah, you are. And that's where the devil's going to hammer you. Okay? He uses your weaknesses against you. What does the Bible say about our weaknesses? First of all, it says we ought to boast about them because that's where the Lord's strong. Don't go around hiding your weaknesses. If you go around hiding your weaknesses, you're pretending that you're in control. You're not in control. When you boast about your weaknesses, you are inviting the power of God. And you're not only doing that, you're inviting the body of Christ to watch Jesus do amazing things in your life. I don't mind telling people about my hang-ups. Because you don't need to be following John Counsel. We need to be following Jesus. In fact, I can mess you up as much as anybody. Okay? The best I can do is point you to Christ. Point you to Christ. Make you hungry for Christ. Okay? I got to get you more Lamentations here. It's good stuff. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he's young. Women too. Did you get that? Look what he's saying. It's good for you to have hardship when you're young. Thank God I'm old, some of you are saying. I know, okay, but let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. What? I thought I was battling the devil. Yeah, we are, and you're always going to, but there's some things that God lays on us, because He's wanting to teach us. Okay? He's wanting to make us strong. He's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. Let him bury his face in the dust. Ever feel like that? There may yet be hope. Notice it didn't say, there's going to be hope. It says, there may yet be hope. Boy, I need a little more than that. I love the honesty of this guy. I mean, you got to get to the background of Jeremiah. God says to him at the beginning of his ministry, okay, here's your job. You're going to harden the heart of Israel. Nobody's going to listen to you. They're going to try and kill you. You're not going to have a following. You're going to be on the run all the time. That's my job for you. Now get to work. Okay. There he goes. I would suggest Jeremiah had a much more passionate and real relationship with God than I do. But that was God's will, and he embraced it. Oh, my goodness. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him. Oh, it's more than just New Testament. Look at that. Let him offer the cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. In other words, bring it on, devil. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Dear God, I hope the Spirit of God is gripping you so that you will believe that and live like it. Okay? I hope I can live like that. No one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief. Uh-oh, look at that. It's not all the devil. Though he brings grief. Mm-hmm. He will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction to grief or grief to anyone. Okay? We could go all day on that. We could have a discussion group about the ins and outs of that. Maybe you need to pray over that and see what he's trying to say to you in your situation. He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone, to crush underfoot all prisoners in the land, to deny people their right before the Most High. Wow. To deprive them of justice. Would not the Lord see such things? Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? He is authority. He is authority. We could fuss and moan about everything in our lives that isn't the way it should be. I'm telling you, you're going to spare yourself grief by surrendering and just yielding to him. And I got a real good friend. I love this guy. Okay. And we've been having coffee. And I've told him right between his eyes, I said, you got to let go of what you're pursuing. It is never going to happen until you yield to the Lord. In fact, he's trying to make things happen, and you keep doing it your way. You have got to yield. And the last three times we've gone, he's arguing with me. Yeah, but. And he tries to give me scripture. And, you know, I know the Bible too. And it's going to feel like you're losing when you're yielding. It's going to feel like you've turned your brain off. It's going to feel like, no, I've got to be me. I've got to be true to myself. You know what's better than being true to yourself? Being true to Jesus. Okay? This nonsense of being true to yourself and self-help and all that nonsense, oh my goodness, deliver the world from that. The world needs less Oprah and more Jesus, okay? I mean, more of what he's called us to, okay? And it's not always going to be comfortable, but he's in charge and he keeps great records, okay? He keeps great records, okay? Verse 31, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. My hope is in him. So I'm not ashamed to follow him. I'm not ashamed to... I don't get everything figured out, but my goodness, don't give in to anything that lowers the greatness of Jesus Christ in your life and his powerful purpose for you, okay? And what he wants to do. Some of you, he's revealed some of it, and you're walking in it, and it's great. You're still going to have pitfalls. Others, man, you're waiting for some things to click in. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about the details, and yield to him in every way you can. And talk about it, too. Get people praying with you. Get people praying with you. Miriam, come on up here. Miriam did story time yesterday. And if you pray with Miriam, Miriam's got a really good habit of, in the middle of a prayer meeting, she'll start singing. The first few times she pulled it, I thought, huh? By around the third or fourth time, it was getting to the point, you know, I got to hear Miriam sing. And she sang this yesterday, and I went to her. I said, I want you to close the service with that tomorrow. I want you to sing that. And I got the lyrics up here because lots of times, you know, she's from Dominica, eh? And is Dominica, right? And sometimes she's still got an accent. She doesn't think she does. And lots of times I have to say, what? Huh? You know? So I went and got the lyrics because you got to hear what she's singing. Take it away, Sister Miriam. Close your eyes. I'm going to close. If you're visiting here this morning and you don't know Christ, you've never invited him into your life as Lord and Savior, you got to make that right. It all starts there. If that's anybody this morning and you want to make that right, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to center you out. I'll track you down, but we're going to pray before we leave this room, and I'm going to make sure you got that right with him. Or maybe you've been coming for a while, you know, but you've never, you know, you like hanging out with us, but you know, you've never really received Christ. You want to make that right. Put your hand up real quick. Right back down. I'll see it. I'll track you down. God, they're right with you. And God, if they're right with you, you got a job for them. Lord, if they're right with you, we're not just sitting around a pool drinking iced tea waiting for you to come back. You gave us some instructions. You told us to go into all the world. You told us, Lord God, to love our neighbor as ourself. You told us all kinds of things to do in your word, God. God. Lord, when we get the Christmas tree up and it's all decorated and everything's on there, plop herself on the couch and we get a feeling of, ha, it's done. Looks so good. And Lord, there's all kinds of things that you want us to accomplish for you, but they're going to take work. And God, you're going to give us the strength. And Lord, we're going to have that great sense of accomplishment. Look what God's done. Look what God's done. With my little 5 loaves and 2 fish, look what he's done. Look what he's done with my just little acts of kindness, generosity, support, tenderness, patience, faith. Just those little things. Look what God has done. God. Now take us to where we're supposed to be. And let us know when we're in the midst of those situations. Here it is. Got to do it. Here it is. Let it rip. Here it is. Keep your mouth shut. Here it is. Smile. Here it is. Walk across the room. Go talk to that person. Whatever it is, God, don't let us be thick-spirited, thick-headed. And help us to respond in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.